Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministry, located in Afromasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Thank the Lord for another Sunday. Do you know somebody is in hospital? Somebody is trying to die. He may succeed in a few minutes, but we are alive and well here. And I think that God has been so gracious, so nice to us. Put your hands together one more time. This morning we are believing God that we are going to walk closely in His plans and purposes for us. That somehow we will achieve whatever aims He has for us in our lifetime. Amen. But this morning I want to share a little bit from the Bible, the book of Luke, chapter 19, about Zacchaeus. I hope that we will all learn something from this short Bible study. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for strength and health. Thank you for the ability to gather once again. And my prayer is, oh Lord, bless us. Bless this gathering here. And let it be able to accomplish your purposes and your will for us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Jesus was going through Jericho. Contemporary English version. Where a man named Zacchaeus lived. He was in charge of collecting taxes and was very rich. How many want to be rich? It's not a bad thing. But don't lose your love for God in chasing after riches. Amen. I remember church when you become rich. Only Henry said amen. Jesus was heading his way, and Zacchaeus wanted to see what he was like. But Zacchaeus was a short man and could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. When Jesus got there, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you today." Zacchaeus hurried down and gladly welcomed Jesus. Verse 7. Everyone who saw this started grumbling. "This man Zacchaeus is a sinner, and Jesus is going home to eat with him." Verse 8. Later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "I will give half of my property to the poor, and I will now pay back four times as much to everyone I have ever cheated." What a repentance. When you repented, did you change like that? You just said, "Oh, I'm a new person, so all things are canceled." Yeah, it just continued your life. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, you and your family have been saved because you are a true son of Abraham. And the Son of Man came to look for and to save those who are lost." Amen. So, this is the story of Zacchaeus. And it is very much in line with the outdooring of Grace Gospel Crusade. Hallelujah. Amen. The first thing that I want us to think about this morning is that Zacchaeus had heard of Jesus. I mean, he knew that there was a prophet called Jesus around somewhere. But he didn't know him. And that's what it says in verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was, even though he had heard about him. And I think that this is probably the common situation of most people. They have heard about Jesus, but don't know him. How many have heard of a certain man called John Dramani Mahama? You have heard of a certain man? You have. How many know him? You know him. Where is his house? You don't know his house. How many children has he got? Even now, you don't know. What was he doing before he became a politician? You don't know. How old is he? 60-something. You are guessing. 67. Only Inno got that one correct. Yeah. Public knowledge. But we are the public here. We don't know him. Yeah. Do you know what is even more troublesome? Do you know Kwame Nkrumah? You know him. Where is his house? Or where was his house? Huh? No. Where was he born? No, that's where he's from. Where was he born? No, he's from Izima. Where was he born? You don't know. But you know his name. So, listen, this morning, I thought about a suspect that you know the name Jesus, but you don't know him. Yeah. That's why next week I'm preaching Jesus. Yeah. Next week. Not today, next week. But, see, many of us know the name. We even know where he comes and goes. But we don't know him. And Zacchaeus was like that. But he was a bit better. They called him a sinner. He was a bit better than you. Do you know why? He decided, I want to know Jesus. Zacchaeus took a decision. I want to know Jesus. He said, Charlie, as we are sitting here, me and you, we know ourselves. We don't know him. But you are happy and comfortable in that situation of not knowing him. Meanwhile, me, I want to know him. I want to know who he is. So when he heard that Jesus was passing by his place, he said, this is my chance. This is my chance. Then he went out looking for Jesus. Do you know there are just a few people who are actively looking for Jesus? Do you know that? Most people, it is Jesus looking for them. God said, my hands are stretched out all day long to a people. It is, in fact, the fact that you are here is not you, but it's God. It is God. Tell anybody, you're not a proper church member. Tell anybody, you're not a proper church member. Your church membership is suspect. I mean, because who are those who on a holiday, if Sunday was a holiday or something, they can't easily stay home and lie in bed. Are they here this morning? Easily stay home on a certain day. Like, oh, today's a holiday. And it's like, Tally, let's take our time and rest a little bit. Yeah, no. Many of us are not looking for Jesus. And that's where Zacchaeus, who was called a sinner, ask him, are you a sinner? They will say yes, just because they don't want cross-examination. They don't want cross-examination. That I'm going to ask him, what about then trouble has come? But when you agree with your adversary, then you pass and go. But nobody has called you a sinner. As for Zacchaeus, the area people, the area boys and the area people all called him a sinner. That you're not correct. You are a very bad man. And he didn't argue. But he is the one who decided that I'm looking for Jesus. Amen. Starting today, I want some of us to decide, I am also going to look for Jesus. Who will take such a decision? Are you serious? Are you serious? I will look for Jesus. No problem. Next week I'm preaching about Jesus. We will start. Amen. Message Bible. I like what the message says. It says, he desperately wanted
He wanted desperately to see Jesus. He was serious about this desire in his heart. He was asking anybody, when was the last time you read your Bible? Ask your neighbor. Oh, please hold him by the shirt. Or hold, ask him, where? No, listen. He will say recently. Recently could be the beginning of the semester. Yeah. Listen to me. There is no way. There is no other place where you can know even a little bit more than you know about Jesus except reading the Bible. I mean, you tell me that you want to be a lawyer and you want to go and do geography. You are reading geography and history and want to become a lawyer. Is it possible? No. So how can you know about a subject that you don't know about except what? You read about that subject. And you read what? Read the textbooks about that subject. Listen, I met a man yesterday. I asked him, do you know God? He said, yes. Where is God? In my heart. I asked, where do you know? He said, oh, my personal God. I stopped the discussion there. I said, son, to be continued. But you cannot know Jesus without reading the Bible. There is no other way. He said, oh, I will pray and I'll get. No, prayer is talking to him at the level that you know him. How do you understand? When you pray to Jesus, you are talking to him. It's true, but you are talking to him at the level. So some of you know me very well, and some don't know me very well. No problem. You can all talk to me. Some will say, hi, Pastor, I'm greeting you. And that's all. They're finished, and then they'll go. Have they not spoken to me? They have. Some will come and sit down, and then they will start to discuss issues and situations. All are talking to me, but some are talking at a much deeper or higher level. I don't know which one it is. Is it deeper or higher? Deeper. Okay, they say deeper. At a deeper level, talking about more serious things, others who just greet and go. But all are talking. So everybody here can talk to Jesus somehow through prayer. But you cannot know him through prayer. Rich. Amen. You will only know him how? By reading the Bible. Rich. I don't know why you're not understand what I'm saying this morning. It's only by reading the Bible. That is the only way we can get closer and closer to know him. And I want us to decide that we will read the Gospels all the time. What I would suggest, or maybe I'll tell you. I would suggest that for your quiet time. How many do quiet time? You raise your hand, I don't know. For your quiet time, read 2 passages. Read 1 passage for your study, Bible study, that you are trying to understand. Okay? Read 1 passage. I don't know where it's coming from. That one, you can read it from anywhere. Just read 1 passage that you take your time to try to learn something from. Then, number 2, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Start from Matthew or Mark or Luke or John from chapter 1 and just read like a storybook. Read about 2 chapters or 3 chapters. Try. You're not saying amen. Try every day. Every day. Start from Matthew. Then, or start from John. Any of them. This one, start from chapter 1. And read it, not in King James. Either contemporary English, what the easy English one. So that you can read like an English story. If you see thee and thou, you become spiritual at once. Then you stop understanding. And when you read he and him, they say, oh yeah, they're talking to me. They're talking to me. So can we start? Can we start? Start from, where we start from? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Each are different. They all tell about Jesus from a different perspective. But let's start. Zacchaeus was luckier than us because Jesus was alive in his day. So he could go there physically to try and see Jesus. He could rise up and go to a place where Jesus was there physically. And that's what he was trying to do. He desperately wanted to see Jesus. Hallelujah. And he rose up one early morning and he ran to a place where Jesus was passing and he was there. He was making an effort to know Jesus. Amen. We are starting. I want us all to become friends of Jesus, that we know him. Hallelujah. And that you have, when they ask you, tell me about Jesus. Oh, you say, oh, examiner, this question, bring more paper because I'm ready. I know him. I've read the gospels. I've read the stories about him. I know what he was like. That is what I want us to aim at starting next week. Hallelujah. And bring a notebook, bring something so that we are able to write down something as we are going about this study. Amen. But listen, Zacchaeus was trying to know Jesus. Amen. But something was stopping him. Something was standing in the way, such that he could not see Jesus. Not the devil. Oh. No, you all think of witchcraft and, it's not the devil. There were some other things that were standing in the way to prevent him from getting to know Jesus better. And the Bible is just a template of most human beings. Most of us, our relationship with God is described in the Bible. So the things that stood in Zacchaeus' place that stopped him from getting to know Jesus, those same things will attempt to hinder you from knowing Jesus better. I listen to me. Those same things. And so this morning, I want to just mention, in fact, there are two of them, though we could have gone deeper, just to mention these two things. And let us see how they are affecting us. There were two things that were hindering Zacchaeus. Number one, the crowd. There were people there who were standing all around. And number two, he was short. No. But there were two main hindrances to Zacchaeus seeing the Lord Jesus. One was the crowd. And the second one was his stature. He was short. Amen. You can go further and categorize these two things into two main categories. Category one, external factors, circumstances, things that are standing around you over which you have no control or limited control. And number two, what we call internal set issues, internal contribution attributes, which are you. Those internal ones is you. This is how you are. He was short. That's how he is. That's how he was. I think he's dead. Isn't he dead? Yeah, he's dead. That's how he was. He was short. Yeah. And that those internal conditions, they are, we'll come to it, but they are a bit more, first of all, you have to recognize it. Zacchaeus recognized that he was short, and that's why he didn't go and stand somewhere to look. He went to climb a tree to help himself. Hallelujah. Two things that are going to hinder you or stop you from getting to know Jesus better. One, external factors, and two, the internal factors. Number one, the crowd. The crowd. Amen. The crowd are people standing around or people in your life. No man's an island. We all come from a family. Wait till you want to marry, then you see your family. As you're here, don't know your family. You're just sitting down, one man. I'm alone. When you want to marry, you will see your uncles and your aunties and your grandmothers. They will come and they say, we have our control. You wonder, where did you come from? They were always there. They were always there, but you didn't know that you didn't need them until marriage time comes or die. If die until you see them. Yeah. Funeral, they were up here. Yesterday, I went for a funeral. We sat there waiting. They gave us 9. We were waiting till about 11 before they started, or 12, because they hadn't told the elders. Yes, the local elders. We just sat there waiting peacefully. We are Christians. We can't wait. Amen. So, number one is the crowd of people standing around you in your life. Let me give you 2 scriptures that will help you to understand this crowd of people a bit clearly. Number one scripture is Matthew chapter 21 and verse 11, where Jesus was entering Jerusalem and the crowd was cheering and they said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Hallelujah. So there is one crowd that is supportive, helping, cheering, very pro-Jesus, very, very much spiritually minded. Amen. But that same crowd, when I say the same crowd, I mean people, the same people around you. That same crowd, just a few days later, what were they shouting? Crucify him. That same crowd, Matthew 27 and 20. And the chief priest persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to kill Jesus. And you know something? And they agreed. And they agreed. Amen. So this morning, understand this clearly. The people around you, they are the biggest problem and your greatest help. The people around you. Do you know what it means? It means you must find... No, I don't know whether you're understanding. You must find the right people around you. You must find the right crowd to walk with. Because when you meet the wrong crowd, before you are aware, you are drinking apio. What's apio? Akweteshi. But where's the name apio from? It's a brand. It's a slang. Yeah. Before you are aware, you will see yourself sitting at a bar with your 2 friends watching Manchester against who? Chelsea. And then you are drinking quarter. Mommy, quarter, why? Then you are drinking quarter. Then the stewardess, the waitress will come and sit on your lap. Hey! Hey! Then you wonder, what am I doing here? Your friends brought you here. Your friends brought you here. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. You are just sitting down there. You have a wife, you have children at home, but you are sitting down at, don't mind your wife, top bar. Because your friends were going there and they said, Charlie, let's go. What are you doing sitting here alone? I mean, you know, you are here alone. What are you doing? Let's go. Yeah, let's go and have some fun. Let's go and sit down. You are sitting here doing nothing. Come on, let's go. So your friends will just draw you to a place where, and you see, what happens is, you, like the prodigal son, you will come to your senses. Where? When you are inside. You will come to your senses. You will wake up, then you see some girl sitting on your lap, and then you wonder, but Mika, what am I doing here? But then it's too late. She's sitting on your lap. And her hand is around, you can't push it. Her hand is holding your neck. She has hooked your neck, and she's talking to you. Cratchy, director, boss, hey, chief, chairman, lawyer, manager, and then she's talking to you, and then she's just rubbing herself against you. Then you wonder, what am I doing here? Because the crowd, you follow the crowd. The crowd, yeah. Look, Luke chapter 1, it said, this man, Jesus, he's for the uprising or the downfall of people. The same as friends. Your friends will either help you be a better person or destroy you and make you to be the worst kind of person. You'll be amazed. And the same people, the people standing around. So what it means is this: you must have, and can I be honest with you? Most people are not correct. Most. No, I mean, it is statistical, because broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. So more people are not correct than are correct. Do you understand? More people. So that, I mean, in your class, in your community, even in your family at large, don't say your family at large, in most places where you are, the majority of people that will cross your path are not correct. They're not correct. And you will say, my relatives, my cousin, my brother, even some brothers. Oh, it's not true. Some brothers, some sisters, even some who have married foolishly, some wives or some husbands. They are your biggest problem. You mind me again. It's okay. You're not married yet, so you say it's not me. Yeah, your day will come. They are coming soon. Yeah. It is. They are the ones. Amen. Number one, Samson was a man called by God to be a judge. I don't have time, but Samson is the man in the Bible most like Jesus. Samson. He was a Nazarite, as Jesus was born of a woman who couldn't give birth, as Jesus. An angel came to talk about him, as Jesus. He was consecrated from childhood, as Jesus. And then he was also, his death also did more damage than his life, like Jesus. Samson should have been one of the greatest judges. But what happened to him? One woman canceled a great... Look, you are not listening to me this morning. One woman canceled a great move of God. Yeah, a man who... I think, you see, the Bible says now of Samuel is the man whose word never fell to the ground. That means his prophecies always came to pass. Samuel became one of the great prophets. I think that Samson should have been one of the greatest prophets or judges or kings. But a certain woman, a certain crowd that he was working with. And he went and chased a girl that he shouldn't have chased a girl. Hey, everything finished. Everything finished. Please ask your neighbor, which Delilah is in your life? Please ask your neighbor, which Delilah? A man Delilah is called what? What's a man Delilah called? A man Delilah. A man Delilah, what's his name? Delah. No, not Delah. Delah is too dangerous. Yeah. A man Delilah and a woman Delilah, that's all. Which one is in your life? Because that Delilah is bringing... You don't believe me? Look at Solomon. Solomon was a man who... You see, like Samson, he should have known. He was the wisest and the richest. He needed nothing again. He was satisfied. And he knew God. And his father knew God. So Solomon was actually supposed to be... It's like he was set up for success. Yeah, he was... I mean, he was... When he was born, then they gave him a car. And they gave him a bank account at Absa. And then they gave him a checkbook. And they gave him an ATM card when he was born. So as a little boy walking around playing football, he was buying Nike football. It was okay. I mean, he didn't have any needs at all. So how come later in life you see him lying down in the ground in a beer bar or somewhere? His wives led him away from the temple into other shrines and other gods. I hope you are listening to me. So, number one, the biggest problem that you will face, and see, being short in itself is not a problem. Because if you are short and you are at the front row, what's the problem? You can see everything. And even though he was short, he was still able to see from the treetop. So being short in itself, are you listening? Your own problems in itself should not disqualify you. Your own issues. Maybe you like girls, or you like boys, or you are lazy, or you are watching films all the time, or you just eat, or you sleep, or what? What are the issues of people like you? You play games, or video games all day, or you watch pornography. That one too is there. Listen. Maybe you have all those issues. Those issues alone should not disqualify you. Should not disqualify you. If you are lazy, at least once in a while you get up. Yeah, at least. You are a foolish student, but you learn. You don't get F. There's some D or some E somewhere. You learned somewhere. So laziness is not a blanket. It is when your inner feelings are compounded by external influences. When you meet a friend who will bring out the worst in you, you meet a friend who is showing you, you are as you are sitting here, you are thinking small about pornography. He's into it. Then he'll say, you tell me, I have Taiwan pornography, Japan pornography, Nigeria pornography, Chinese pornography. Which one do you like? And Filipino pornography. Which one do you like? Which one do you like? And I'll tell you that the Korean one is wild, but the China is crazy. Filipino, there you fall down the ground. Which one do you like? Because, listen. There's a small spark of it in you. Somebody is pouring petrol on that spark. It just boom and start burning. Yeah, it starts burning. So number one is the crowd you walk with, the crowd. If you find yourself in the wrong crowd, you are doomed. There is a place where when you say, I'm a Christian, the answer is laughter. There's a place where when you are walking and then something falls from your pocket and is a Bible. Hey! Sure. Bible! Ha ha ha! You will feel so mocked and so useless. There's a place where when your ringtone is praise the Lord always. This is sure. Look, it becomes a discussion. Because theirs is Shatawale and other things is their ringtone. And your ringtone is Don Moen or Hosanna music. They'll say, look at you. Look at somebody. One guy was sitting in his car with his friends. They were driving around town. In those days when people were driving around town in the night. And they were, in those days, do you know a cassette? There were cassettes. In those days, there were cassettes. And they had played the music. Then, the co-pilot? The co-pilot was the man who was sitting at the front seat. So he was playing all the music. They played all that. They said, oh, what? There's a new cassette here. What is this one? And you put it in. What came out of preaching? Hey! Look! They said, hey! What is this? Is it a problem? Instead of saying praise the Lord, they are now attacking him for having preaching in his car. That's the friends you can have around you. That will make preaching sound negative or bad. That's the kind of friends you can have around you. That when you say, I'm going to church. Oh, you're going to church? Hey! Then they are laughing at you. I'm going for Sunday school evangel. Hey, Then you are become then every time they see you, look, they will say, oh, your highness, your highness, your cardinal, your lordship. Hey, they will begin to call you every kind of mocking name. Yeah. That's what it is, the crowd. Amen. But you see, the crowd is also, there's a good crowd, but there are few. And somehow, we don't cultivate that good crowd. Somehow, How do I know? Because most of us who are here, your best friend is not necessarily here. Tap your neighbor and ask him. Most of us who are here, your best friend, true or not true? Do you know where I see it? Do you know where I see it? When it comes to weddings, where they bring their best man and they are maid of honor, then you see some guy who has come from somewhere. Who is this guy? He's my best man. Your best man. We have been here with you for 7 years. Now somebody, none of us know him. So my schoolmate from primary school. He's your best man. And when he comes to the room, he's smelling, he's walking some kind of way. Hey, man. Hey, what's this? That's your best man. And then your maid of honor. When she comes, wearing mini skirt. Hey! The skirt is too mini. It's too mini. How do you climb a step? Hey! You must walk like this. That is your friend. Who is your best friend? Who are your friends? And you find that many of us, we have gone to, not that we have gone, we have not bothered to cultivate a crowd that will build you up. You have not bothered. You say, oh, I'll see you on Sunday. No problem. I'll see you on Sunday. But we can be talking during the week. We can build a relationship. But we are going to just bother and then just take the easy way out. The mass crowd around you. You just go and flow with people, foolish people who are drinking small, chasing small, big, and then running around like mad people. That's your friends. That is the crowd that will prevent you from seeing Jesus well. Are you here this morning? I want us to decide. Look, ask your neighbor, who is the he Delilah or she Delilah in your life? Where are Solomon's wives in your life? Where are they? Solomon's wives. Where are the ones who are bringing you down? Where are they? And who? I tell all the children in my house. I ask them. So you have gone to school, eh? Yeah, they all went to school. They started school. I always ask them, who is your friend in class? I always ask them, who is your friend in class? Because you have gone to a new school, a new class. They ask him, give me their names. One is called Sheila. One is called Deborah. One is called, good, no problem. What school did they go to? What church did they go to? Sheila goes to Pentecost. Deborah goes to this. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm in a class. There are only four friends I know in that class. You go to church. Uh-huh. At least you have reduced the influence of the madness of school in your life. You have reduced the influence. Who is your best friend? Look, when you go to school, most of us, you must cancel some friends. Do you hear me? Hey, do you hear me? You must cancel some friends. When I say cancel, just begin to draw away. Or when they come near, bring out your Bible and then begin to be openly Christian. They will leave you. They will stop talking to you. You say, you have become too extreme. You are too, OD or whatever. They will mock you, but they will leave you alone. Amen. Are you listening? So what was hindering Zacchaeus largely from knowing Jesus are the friends, the people around him. You know, it is the people. If your let me make it this way. If your friend comes and tells you, Charlie, I did go the crusade, you go come, you will likely say yes. You will likely say yes. If your friend says, Charlie, I'm tired, I want rest, what do you go do? You will rest. Your friend, what your friend suggests, and not your pastor, because me, I'm saying, let's come on Friday, but you don't come. Not your pastor. It's your friend or your crowd around you. What your friend suggests or even says in passing, that's what you will do. That's what you will do. So if somehow you wake up, then your friend says, Charlie, Henry, what time? 2 o'clock. Well, that's it. I'm also going. But Henry, what time? Oh, you know, I have some work. I have a little project. And today is a holiday. It's my chance to get extra hours to top it up. So we'll see. Me too. I remember that I have some homework. I also remember that I have some washing to do. I also remember that telling me too, I have some assignment to do. So you're saying that you are not going is influencing me to say I'm also not coming. I'll be getting it. But if your friend says I'm going, I will be there. Tally, it's our first crusade. Grace Gospel. It's a very nice name. Grace Gospel Crusade. I think it's a very Christian name. Yeah. Oh, clap for Grace Gospel Crusade. I think from Grace Cathedral. Yes. If you say that I'm going, Charlie, I can't miss it. Our first crusade with our new equipment and our huge banner and the lorry station just here with our lights. We've gotten lights. We've gotten everything. And we've gone to get a speaker. Nothing is moving. This one, they don't move. So we're going to bring one that one moves. It's going to be carried around. We have gone to prepare ourselves. Charlie, how can you miss the maiden crusade? Charlie, it's true. I gotta be there. Are you listening? The friend you are with can encourage you, even though you may really have an assignment to do. You really do. You will find a way to balance yourself and come for the crusade. I gotta be there. I cannot miss the first crusade. How? I cannot miss it. I've got to be there. Hallelujah. So that is the external factor. There are others, but the greatest is your friends. No, and see, listen. Everybody has bad friends, true or not true. Everybody, good or bad, you have bad friends. Try to be calling your good friends more often. Sometimes they're not close to you. It's a reality of where we have come from, or our history, our background. Those who don't have church history, we may have classroom history. That's where your friends are. Begin to cultivate calling or visiting others who are more Christian. Barbara, those who are more Christian, leave the others. Amen. I mean, even if you are a parent. When I was a parent, I'm a parent. When I had small children, my sister told me something. I learned it first from his big brother. Then I saw it myself. Then I also told something. He said, "Don't let your children go out. Rather, let their friends come to your house. Then you see who their friends are. They can see who they play with. And then where they go, limit it severely. They will never go to a house where when they come, they are speaking profane words. They've learned it from their friend. They will never go somewhere. When they come, they have some things in their pocket. What is this? My friend gave it to me." Hey, no. In your house, there's no such thing. In your house, there's no such language. So it is simply to control the crowd around that to give bad advice and bad influences. Hallelujah. And if you get a good crowd, you'll be a good boy. You'll be a good boy. You will not know bad things. Amen. Put your hands together for the first one. The second area that will affect how you get to see Jesus, are you listening? Is your internal dimensions. And that is who you are. Who you really are. Amen. I didn't hear amen. Who you are is when you are by yourself, or when you have a chance to do things, what do you do? When you have been released and you have the freedom to go or come, what will you do? If, for example, on a Sunday, they say that, oh, today, no, Sunday's a holiday already. But some Sundays are certain holidays where people are going to beach, they are going to party. When they have, post-wasi jam party, pool party, they are finished wasi. So today, all my classmates are meeting somewhere to celebrate, put your pen down, party, other things. What do you say? Stop work party. Then you will see all your friends are going. What do you yourself really want to do? That's you. What do yourself really want to do? Amen. This one, there's plenty we can talk about, but let me just pick on two of them. Matthew chapter 25. Those who didn't work for Jesus. Matthew 25, verse 18. And he that received one talent went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Those who didn't work, didn't do anything for their Lord. 25. And he said, I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there is that is thine. And verse 26. His Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful or lazy servants. Amen. So, just for today, using this scripture, two characteristics that you may have that will hinder you from seeing Jesus well. Number one, wicked. And number two, lazy. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't hear good amen. Wicked and lazy. When we say you are wicked, we may have many different ideas and definitions of wickedness. But it simply means this: you don't care about others. That's the simplest cross basic definition for wickedness that appeals to all age groups, both young and old. You don't care about others. You are just doing what you like. And what I can do to help somebody, I don't care. Matthew 15 and verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Hey! This woman, I almost know her. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Hey! I mean, if you go to the hospital, children's ward, or you will see parents who are distressed. And parents walking up and down. Where is your child? The child is lying in coma. Child is vomiting. Child is not awake. He's not waking up. He's just like that. Hey! The mother can't be happy again. Oh, you don't understand? You are the children, that's why. The mother can't be happy again. The mother is distressed. And sometimes, they forget to eat. Parents, look, children, your parents, no matter how what you think they are, what they are doing for you, you grow up and see that is a lot. You will not know. Right now you are complaining. They didn't give me shoes. They didn't give me a new dress. Christmas, I had only one Coca-Cola. The cake they brought, we were seven, and we all shared the same cake. No, I want my own cake. You are complaining about foolish things. You say amen. Yeah. You will see that it is your parents have really done something for you. And this woman, she was crying. My daughter, hey, she was she She was distressed that she has left her house to go and find Jesus to cry at his feet. Jesus, I beg you, do something. How many can feel some compassion for the woman? Or you can't feel? I mean, maybe it's her only child. Hey, her only child who is sick and is... Jairus' daughter, in the Bible, there are many parents who had children who are sick. They were all disturbed. And they came to Jesus in a desperate situation. Look at this. But he answered not a word. And the disciples, they came and said what? Send her away. Hey! Look at the disciples. Somebody is crying for a child. And you have come to say, send her away. Thank God it's Matthew 15, not Matthew later. This is the beginning of the disciples changing. They are not changed fully yet. No, they didn't care. They didn't care at all about what was happening. Let me show you something else. Luke 10, verse 31. Good Samaritan. And it so happened that a priest was going down that road. But when he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. No. Do you understand? Hey, come. Barbara, come. This is somebody who was going to market. Carry your market away. On your head. Carry it on your head. And you are going to market. Yeah, come and stand here. You are going to market. Collapse. Out of hunger. Collapse on the ground. Collapse. You are walking and then you collapse. Collapse. Yeah. What has happened? She has what? Mr. Pastor, come. Mr. Pastor, you are walking. Hey! Did you see her? You are busy. I mean, he's just walking. And he saw somebody in town lying on the ground. Her basket is on the ground. And she said, complain. You are not a good actor. I said, Ajay. Who can do the thing better? I say, Ajay, stop laughing. Ajay. Can you hear Ajay? Oh, Barbara. She's lying down there. Madam, come. Nice lady, wearing beautiful dress. And you're going somewhere. Look at her, very chic. Walking, go. They just see her lying there. Your sister woman. Just walk past her. Hey! Hey! Wait. If you were sitting somewhere and... Come, go back again. No. And then you saw this woman passing. What do you say? Hey! What a wicked woman! Or... Yes. Is that what you say? Hey! You walk past the... Are you seeing? Is she sleeping? Ajay. And then you walk. I don't care. No. As you are going, did you kick her? Did you step on her? Like this? You didn't step. Say Ajay. You say Ajay. She said it. It's a very weak Ajay. But you didn't step on her. You didn't come and kick her. Or anything, nothing. But you didn't touch it. You just went minding your own business. But that minding your own business is wickedness. Is wickedness. Get up. You failed the test. I'm going to collapse in town. Yeah, wickedness. You have not been able to care about a person. That's what it is. We are going out on Friday to try and win some souls. Oh, I cannot come. You cannot come. You cannot come on Friday when we are meeting on a holiday. Nobody's going to work. Nobody's going to school. You have finished your exams. You are doing, except those who are doing exams. You have finished your exams. Then you are free. And so I can't come because I'm busy. Hey, tell your neighbor you are wicked. Oh, you didn't say. No. Turn to your neighbor. And then hold the dress. Hold the shirt or hold something. Hold your neighbor. Tell him you are wicked. You didn't come for the crusade. Dancing stars, are you coming? Yes. Hey. You know, are they dancing stars coming? They are dancing. Hey. If we are going to dance, then we call, please welcome the dancing stars. Then I see two children are coming. One, two. You are wicked. You have left us, me and Henry, to go and dance. What can we do? What can we do? We are going to dance to draw a crowd. If we dance, rather the crowd will go away. They'll rather go away and say, some jokers are here. Look, let's go and do something serious. Tell your neighbor, if you don't care about other people and their salvation, you are wicked. You are wicked. Yeah. If you don't care, if we can't spare you to join us on Wednesday and Friday, we can't encourage you. Wednesday evening, this afternoon, after we finish church, no, we are going to the park to go and just talk about the crusade again, and then just invite them. And we have a few flyers. We said that, they should just see us, that we are the church who are here. We're just coming to invite you, come to church. And then on Sunday, those who are there are those who live there. So now we are getting there, because like some parts of town, all those who come there, when the day closes, they go to their hometown, and they go to their homes, and they all go back here. But those who are there on Sunday are those who you meet them there in the evenings. Yeah. So we are going after service. How many are going with me? That's why I'm wearing my Grace Gospel Crusade t-shirt. You are going with me. Hey! I didn't see your hand. I didn't see your hand. We're just going just for 1 hour. Just to go and walk around the place and talk to them and just share. I'll show you what to say. We just go and talk around a bit and just share with them. Because number one, if you don't care for other people, you are wicked. Amen. You are wicked. And number two, you are lazy. What is lazy? Lazy. One, able to work. Able to work, but not willing. Able, you can do it. That's a lazy person. You can do it. You can sweep. You can wash. You can cook. You can do it. But I'm not willing to do it. And number two, you know how to do it. But again, two, I'm not willing. That's lazy. Some don't know how to cook. It's a reality. But those who know how to do things and they choose not to, no. I mean, I decide to rest, or I'm tired, or I'm taking my time or something. That is laziness. What is laziness? Proverbs 18. Laziness. And verse 9 in the New Living Translation. A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. A lazy person is as bad as somebody who, you are spoiling things. You say, I've not touched it. You are spoiling it. You didn't touch the person, but you are spoiling something. That's a lazy person. As bad as a destroyer. Amen. Proverbs 12 and verse 24. work hard and become a leader, be lazy and you will end up, or you will become a slave. It means when you are a slave, you don't control yourself. Somebody will be controlling you. Somebody will be telling you what to do. You wish to have your freedom, but rather you have lost it. I mean, when you are a lazy person, you find that your parents, their eye is on you more. True or not true? They are now watching your everything. You didn't wash. You didn't clean up after you. Now, whereas if you are hardworking, they will excuse a few things. But when you are lazy, they say, no, this is not, you're not doing well. And then rather they will bring up all your issues before your face. Amen. Look at the Message Bible. Verse 24. The diligent find freedom. I think this is a very important scripture. They find freedom in their work. I mean, when you are doing something and it's nice, you begin to enjoy it. And you are happy doing it. And you even want to do it more. I mean, when we go on visitation, we were there yesterday, just for a few minutes. I mean, when you start talking to people and they are responding, it's almost hard to stop and go. You just keep on, one more person. We just talk to people, and before you are aware, it's almost 6 o'clock. It's like, hey, let's go. We have to come to church and do some work here. Oh, one more person. And there's always one more person. The diligent find freedom or satisfaction in their work. But the lazy, the work becomes a big headache. It becomes a big problem. You are oppressed. The work is now like, Charlie, I'm harassed. I'm suffering over an easy work. Not at all. Hallelujah. Not at all. Listen, are you listening? We are going out to work for the Lord. Amen. Because we are copying Jesus. When he said, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's why I came. I cannot walk by seeing somebody lying down and then I just move away. Those of us who have become a master at ignoring beggars, and you have made yourself so hard that no matter the condition of the person begging, you just walk past. I don't give. Finish. I don't give. Is that a good mind? Because there are some people who really need food. Yeah, there are some who really have no food in their homes, and they really come to beg, and the money they get is for real food. May God touch every heart here, that we will become a bit more like Jesus. May everybody here see yourself begin to resemble Jesus more and more. And as we resemble him, may we do what he would do had he been here. May you be mindful of the crowd around you to phase out the bad ones and usher in the good ones. May you be able to see where God is leading you and how he has arranged help for you, but you have left the help, or you have ignored it. You decide, I will not be wicked and I will not be lazy, but me, I will serve the Lord with all my strength, with all my heart. Every opportunity that I have, I will take it to do something for God. Sometimes in your own life, in your own situation, you don't have many opportunities. Sometimes, I mean, like me, for example, sometimes when I check my life, I don't have unbeliever friends. All my friends are pastors. All my friends are Christians. My unbeliever friends, I disengaged long ago. Now I have to go and look for them. And they are far away. My immediate contacts, all are Christians.
Where am I going to do evangelism? Where am I going to find someone to talk to? I don't take taxi. I don't take trotro. I don't take VIP. I don't sit anywhere public. Everywhere I sit is here in church where you are the one with me. Or where I don't have any place again. So when I get the chance to do evangelism on Saturdays, I don't miss it. I don't miss it. Because otherwise, when my week starts from Christian to Christian to Christian, I want us to say, Lord, this opportunity that I have to make a difference for eternity, I won't lose it. I won't miss it. I won't let it go. This chance that I have to serve the Lord in some way, I won't miss it at all. Here, when we do altar call, who minds us? Nobody's minding us here. Because there's nobody here who is altar callable. Everybody is already altar called. There's nobody again to altar call. So we just do it knowing that nobody will mind you, but you still do it because that's what we do as a church. That's how we end our services, hoping that maybe today somebody will change his mind and become more serious or other. But when you go out there, definitely you will find people who need the Lord. Definitely you will find people who we are campaigning for their salvation. And as we speak to them, you will see their lives will change. May we go from here this afternoon, this morning. May we go from here determined, like Zacchaeus, to know Jesus and to become like him. May we live here determined that I will make a difference in somebody's life. I will turn somebody from hell to heaven. I will tell somebody, I will change somebody. I will turn somebody's life around from destroyed to restored and rebuilt. And God will help us. Put your hands together this morning.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 112 75. God bless you.